Wondery Plus subscribers can listen to Morbid early and ad-free. Join Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.
You're listening to a Morbid Network podcast.
Hey guys, I have to tell you about this all-in-one shake that I'm freaking loving. It's called Cachava. I love saying it. It's actually hands down the best thing that I've found to help me get all my essential nutrients into one day. Cachava is the all-in-one superfood shake made up of high-quality plant-based nutrients. It's got greens, superfruits, plant proteins, antioxidants, adaptogens, probiotics. In other words, literally everything that your body craves to feel your best. And I know what you're thinking. Something that good for me cannot possibly taste good. Wrong. That's where Cachava really earns their over 52,000 five-star reviews. It actually tastes freaking amazing. It's very creamy and smooth, and it comes together with just water. And it comes in five delicious flavors. Personally, vanilla and chai are my personal favorites, but it also comes in chocolate, matcha, and coconut acai, which I still need to try. Some people like to drink it as part of a healthy breakfast or lunch, and other people love it as a protein-packed snack before or after a workout. It's really perfect for that because it has 25 grams of plant protein per serving. Personally, I like to add mine to my overnight oats. I add a scoop and I mix it all up to get a little more protein into my oats. And literally, I can have that for breakfast and feel satiated, nourished, beautiful, functioning, all throughout my day. It's incredible. Please send me more of it because I love it so much. It makes me feel very, very good. And guess what, guys? Cachava is offering our listeners 10% off for a limited time. Just go to cachava.com/morbid, spelled K-A-C-H-A-V-A, and get 10% off your first order. That's K-A-C-H-A-V-A.com/morbid.
Guys, it's hard to start working out, and it's even harder to maintain working out, especially if you don't like your fitness routine, which a lot of times it can be dull, just for me personally, that's all I'm saying. But Peloton really keeps me motivated, mainly because I love the instructors and I feel like I'm losing my friends when I'm not on that bike. But also, Peloton helps you start no matter what level you're at. Wherever you're starting, there's thousands of classes to get you moving. Whether that's beginner or advanced rides, feel-good live DJ rides, or artist theme rides, they've got something for you. And like I said, the Peloton bike instructors not only are wonderful and feel like your friends, but they help keep you motivated from day one. They'll show you the basics, you know, take the guesswork out of your workout and encourage you to build. So you're like, I want to make you proud of me. And Peloton Entertainment keeps you moving. Watch your favorite TV shows and live sports as you ride. Perfect for those days when you just don't want to miss a thing. Wherever you're starting, get moving with a Peloton bike or bike plus rental at www.onepeloton.com/bike/rentals. Terms apply.
Hey, weirdos. I'm Ash.
I'm Elena.
And this is Morbid, and something really fucking creepy just happened.
No line was cut, no whale was freed, and the captain's mind was not on greed, but he belonged to the whaleman's creed. She took that ship in tow. Soon may the wellerman come to bring us sugar and tea and rum. One day when the tonguing is done, we'll take our leave and go.
This is Morbid Haunted as Fuck Edition, and
first it was Haunted Edition, and now it is Haunted as Fuck Edition.
Because when we started this out, we're like, cool, it's spooky lighthouses, guys. It's volume two. We're very excited. Haunting things are fun. And then I was moving my microphone around a little bit to get it more comfortable, and I was like, oh, you know what? Let me stop recording and just check to make sure that it's not making any like boom, boom, boom sounds.
Right.
And this is what happened. This is what happened when we recorded the first one.
Be ready.
Hey, weirdos, I am Ash.
And I'm Elena.
And this is Morbid Spooky Lighthouses Edition Volume 2. I'm so excited for more spooky lighthouses.
Yeah.
So I don't know what that means. I don't know if we're supposed to be doing this episode, but we're going to forge ahead.
We're going to go forth and conquer.
It's going to be like the Oregon Trail, and we're just going to forge across the river.
Yeah, that was a lot. Let's hope we don't get like yellow fever.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, we cut most of that like first part because we didn't want your ears to start bleeding in your car.
No.
But we were explaining that we're going to do like a fucking haunted week this week.
Yeah.
And just have a bunch of haunted episodes because they're fun.
They are fun. We're just feeling in a spooky mood.
We're feeling like we want to be ghosty.
Yeah. I just like the summer is starting and it's making me miss October.
Yeah. And, you know, I feel like every haunted place obviously has to do with some tragedy or death or murder of some kind that happens with it. So it's very interlocked with true crime. At least we're going to find ones that are. And I feel like, you know, sometimes we just need a week of spooky true crime instead of just like straight up true crime.
Yeah. And that's why we named it Morbid, because it's all encompassing.
It's morbid, man. It's
and you know what?
If you have ghosts, you have everything. So
we're just not going to explain that further, because
if you know, you know.
And if you don't, you don't.
But go listen to Ghost.
That gives it away. That's how you know.
You know, I just love you guys.
And you'll have
everything. I want you to be right. So I'm giving you this.
All right. Well, let's start.
Yeah, let's get into spooky lighthouses because I'm ready.
Okay. So we each picked, you have one, right? Like one massive one.
Yeah, I have one that was just too much.
Too much.
But shocking. That's so crazy.
Yeah.
So yeah, Elena has one super like haunted lighthouse and I have two. And just to start this whole thing off, we thought it would be fun to start with a listener tale from a lighthouse that we did in volume one.
Exactly.
So I'm not sure if I can say this person's name. They'll probably tell me while I'm reading it. So it starts off and it says, "My adventures in the St. Simons Lighthouse. Hi, weirdos."
I think it's Simons.
Is it?
I think it is, yeah.
Oh, my bad.
Is it S-I-M-O-N?
Yeah, it is.
It's Simon.
It is Simon. You're right. I'm leaving. So we're already off to a great start.
We're
here.
Killing it.
Hi, weirdos. Fellow millennial Capricorn here.
Oh, hey.
Oh, hello.
Oh, hey.
I hail from the pretty okay state of Georgia. I was delighted after a shitty day at work to select your Haunted Lighthouses episode to listen to it while crying in the shower.
Oh, my goodness.
I'm sorry that you were crying in the shower, but, like, we've all been there.
Yeah.
Although I live in Athens, my home away from home is St. Simon's Island. Growing up, my family would visit at least once a year. I've spent days, if not weeks, riding my bike up and down the island, and I have come across some seriously spooky places and stories.
Oh, I love that.
I've been to the lighthouse countless times, and the stairs to the top are indeed very creepy. You can tour the lighthouse, including the living quarters on the second floor. I have attached a photo of a creepy doll that hangs out in the nursery.
Ooh.
I haven't heard any doggos barking in that lighthouse, but there definitely is a feeling attached to the building. The first floor is a museum. There is a bust of an amazing black woman named Nora August. As a young enslaved woman during the Civil War, she was freed and went on to live her own life. The inscription on that bust reads, quote, "Nora August, slave, at age 23 years, purchased from the market St. Augustine Flaw." Oh, that's so weird.
Oh,
St. Augustine. I didn't even do that on purpose.
Oh, that's weird.
Super weird.
Whoa.
April 17th, 1860. Now a free woman. And then it says, "Nora August, know her, respect her."
Yes.
I do.
I love it. And also, that was weird because the lighthouse that I'm doing is the St. Augustine Lighthouse.
Yeah.
That's why that was
weird. Super strange. Yeah, just like, we were like, that's weird, and we're not going to tell you why.
We're not going to tell you why. Being very secretive today.
Ha ha ha. So here are a few other St. Simon's tales. Igbo Landing. I think that's right. Maybe, should we look it up?
Igbo?
Igbo?
I'm going to look it up.
I guess it could be Igbo. But I'm feeling like it's Igbo.
Landing. Pronounce.
Pronunciation. It's like pronouncenames.com.
Let's see. Oh, that's British, so it sounds better.
She said Igbo.
Igbo Landing.
Igbo Landing.
You can just say it like that.
Okay. Igbo Landing.
There you go.
In May 1803, the Igbo, people of Nigeria, were stolen as captives and arrived in Savannah, Georgia to enter the slave trade. These enslaved people were chained and packed under the deck of a coastal vessel, which would take them to St. Simon's. Before they could land ashore, about 75 Igbo people took control of the ship, drowned their captors, and finally landed the ship in Dunbar Creek.
Damn!
Following their arrival in the muddy marshes, they turned back to the water. Rather than live as enslaved people, the men died by a mass suicide, supposedly still in their chains. According to blackpast.org, about a dozen bodies were uncovered, and the rest were lost to history and legend.
Wow.
That is wild. Heavy. That's why that place is so heavy.
Oh, man.
All right, the next tale. Next tale.
No, there's one of those souls coming out.
They're always lurking. Mary DeWanda. As with most islands, there is a legend of a love story that ended in tragedy on St. Simon's. Hundreds of years ago, a woman named Mary lost her betrothed to a violent storm. Horrified and heartsick, she ran into the waves, perhaps on a horse, and died. There's now a rumor of a wandering lover haunting the shores of St. Simon's.
There's always a wandering lover.
There always is.
It has to be.
I want to be a wandering lover, but I don't at the same time.
No.
I want to see a wandering lover and like give her a hug.
Yeah, I want to see one and just be like, it's going to be okay.
Yeah.
But I don't want to be one.
Here's Tinder. Start swiping.
There you go.
And we're like, actually, it won't be okay.
It will not be okay. So I was like, what are you trying to do to this poor person?
I'm just making her more lost. Looking for her lost beau who drowned at sea. Known as Mary de Wanda or Mary the Wanderer. Ah. She can be seen in the evenings walking up and down the beach with a lantern. Oh. Always with a lantern.
I got like chills when you said that.
Doesn't she sound beautiful though?
I picture this woman just walking along the beach holding the lantern. I see like the wind blowing these really like ethereal skirts back.
And they're white.
Yeah. And it's all very gauzy and very just like
airy.
And
back then was like so much.
Ooh, the spooky.
It wasn't better, but like it was better than now.
It was prettier at times.
Yeah, it was more surreal.
That's all it was. It was aesthetic.
It was. All right. The light in the graveyard is the next one.
I'm for it.
Christ Church Cemetery is a gorgeous old graveyard near Ford. I can do this. Near Ford Frederica on St. Simon's Island.
You did it.
I did it. Long ago, a man lost his wife to an illness. The widower knew that his beloved was terrified of the dark, so he visited her grave every night to make sure that she had a lit candle illuminating her tomb. And I can't even get a text back.
My heart just exploded. What love?
That's literally love.
I don't want you to be scared of the dark when you're dead.
So I'm going to light a candle by you all the time. They say that you can still see a flickering light in the cemetery after dark, long after both lovers have passed away.
I'm obsessed.
Oh,
I love that.
They also say, my friends and I run a YouTube channel called Country Fried Cryptid.
Stop it. I think I've seen their YouTube channel too. And it's awesome.
Yes.
Oh my God.
Where we explore spooky sites in Georgia. We even visited the place where Marion Stembridge lived his worst life in Milledgeville.
Stop it.
We are on a hiatus, but hope to get back to investigating haunted Georgia again soon.
I hope so.
That is amazing. And then they said, side note, for my birthday this year, I ventured up north to sleep over at the Lizzie Borden house.
Yes.
While I didn't get any spooky vibes.
Whoa.
Interesting.
That's shocking.
I did find it amusing that someone left an ibuprofen in the offering plate upstairs in the John Morse room.
That's amazing.
You know, for those headaches that the Bordens must have been having in the afterlife.
Yeah. I think it's probably nice to do.
I hope you enjoy these photos, including me cosplaying Mary de Wanda, one of Dunbar Creek, and one of me trying to climb an oak tree. I will be sure to keep it weird down south for both of you.
Thank you.
I'm not going to say this person's name because they didn't specify.
But their YouTube channel,
that's true,
is pretty rad.
So check out their YouTube channel.
Oh, that's so funny. I definitely have come across that, and I've definitely watched videos and like,
as soon as I read it, I was
been into it.
That sounds really familiar.
That's really cool.
That was also just like the perfect opening to this episode because you gave us like a little tidbit of each tale, and you said it so beautifully.
Thank you for doing that because that was like a really well put together.
It was
history there.
I liked that a lot.
I loved that.
All right, so should we start off with St. Augustine, do you think?
Yeah, let's start off with St. Augustine, because I also have a listener tale that can set us up for that.
Oh, my goodness. Listen to you.
And by the way, if you've sent in, which you've sent in tons of lighthouse stories and suggestions and listener tales, we love them. Keep them coming. We're going to read those on listener tales episodes as well, so they won't get lost in the shuffle and not used if they're not used with the particular lighthouse episode.
Mm-hmm.
So just, I wanted to make sure people knew that.
And to specify, you can totally like go, because I saw a couple that were like, I won't bore you with like my whole experience there. And I'm like, no, that wouldn't bore me. And it's like,
oh no, give it to me.
Yeah, like suggest it and then tell me your experience.
And also I just realized that this is even weirder because this one's about St. Augustine, but it mentions St. Simon's.
What the fuck?
I just realized that. We did not plan this whatsoever.
We each pulled these tales separately.
Completely separately. Wow.
Weird.
What's happening today? There's a lot of haunted shit happening right now. Well,
this feels just like that. We're in line. And also, you and I have like been really in line lately. Like, we were recording Scream last night, and I swear I like took a thought from your head and said it aloud.
It happened several times.
And it was like a complex thought.
Yeah.
Like, not just a regular, like, yeah, I want chicken for dinner.
Yeah, you would suddenly say something, and I was like, I was just thinking that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe we rearranged the room.
Yeah,
maybe that's what it is.
It's like a nice vibe.
Yeah, maybe the shway is going
good. The shway is good.
Unlike other programs, Noom Weight uses a psychology-based approach to help people better understand their relationship with food. It teaches them how to be more mindful of the way that they eat and gives them the skills and knowledge that they need to build long-lasting, positive habits. Guys, personally, my experience in the past is always being so overwhelmed when I start the process of, like, getting back on my health grind. Not only is it super intimidating heading back into the gym and familiarizing yourself with all the equipment and, like, every person that you ever went to high school with, but the wellness industry is throwing things at you left and right between all the different supplements and, like, what feels like really strict rules around eating healthy. That is exactly why I love Noom. Noom believes that the only place you really need to start with is your mind. With Noom Weight, you'll take a path toward better health one lesson at a time. Their psychology-based approach helps you change the way you think about food and health rather than demanding you to change your entire lifestyle. That is just not going to be good. When I started Noom, I had no idea that there was actually so much psychological meaning behind all the different choices that I made surrounding my diet. I'll give you an example. I always felt like I was supposed to finish the plate of food in front of me because that's how I grew up as a kid, and I know that's how a lot of people grew up as kids. So over the years, I did not listen to my body when it felt full, but instead I was like subconsciously following rules from my childhood. Ever since I've recognized that, it's become so much easier to just listen to my body, and now I recognize when I'm truly done with a meal and satiated. I'm also enjoying exercise so much more than I used to because I'm eating cleaner, fueling my body, and looking at exercise as an amazing thing that my body can do instead of like a weird punishment for eating a cupcake. Noom truly catered to my personal experience, and I really appreciate that because Noom doesn't believe in restricting what you can or can't eat. Instead, Noom gives you the knowledge and the wisdom that you need to make informed choices that are going to help you to get closer to your goals. Noom understands that building long-term positive habits can be hard and filled with ups and downs. That's why Noom believes that it is about progress, not perfection, because everybody's journey looks different. Start building better habits today. Sign up for your trial at noom.com/morbid. That's noom.com/morbid to sign up for your free trial. noom.com/morbid.
So let's start, shall we? Well, hello there, spooky gals. My name is Leanna. I hope I'm saying that right. It's Leanna.
Let me see.
Leanna.
Yeah, Leanna.
Right? Leanna.
Hi.
Feel free to use my name on the off chance this tale graces your eyeballs and magically finds itself in a future episode. That time is now.
Or the on chance.
I was so excited about your new Haunted Lighthouse series. I'm so glad you guys were excited about that because I love these. Your girl loves a good haunting, and I have a personal experience with lighthouse ghosts. My BFF and fellow weirdo sent me the first lighthouse episode. Shout out to my girl Deanna.
Deanna and Leanna. I love that.
Because we were actually planning a trip to St. Simon's Island later this summer.
Weird.
I immediately started looking into lighthouse tours. I'm a veterinary nurse. Oh, I love you.
You're an angel, you mean?
Yeah, and would love for the chance to see the ghost of Bull the dog. Now on to my own personal haunted lighthouse experience. Feel free to edit as needed if you feel the need to condense down to the juicy parts of the lighthouse episode. I will not do that.
Nay.
I grew up in Florida and would visit the St. Augustine Lighthouse almost yearly as part of school field trips. I remember as a child always getting a strange feeling when we went up the iconic lighthouse, but it wasn't until I was in my late 20s that I finally got the chance to do their ghost tour. As an empath who has had my fair share of paranormal experiences, I was excited to finally hopefully experience something at a place I grew up visiting and learning the history of. I've submitted another listener tale of the other ghostly encounters if you're interested in hearing more.
Obviously.
I'm gonna keep your name in consideration, and I'm gonna search that shit right after this.
Me too.
You're on the next listener. At the start of the tour, guests were handed one EMF reader per group and were instructed to try to be as respectful and take things as seriously as possible in hopes of maximizing the chance for an encounter. This is where I shot a glaring side eye at my too cool for school younger brothers, who at this point were scoffing and disinterested, to put it mildly. My husband, Matt, was the one who was most excited for the tour, so he started as the one holding the EMF reader. Everything started relatively uneventful. We walked around, Matt asking questions, hoping to cause the EMF to light up. So far, nothing. During the tour, we learned of a lighthouse keeper, I'm going to talk about him, Peter Rasmussen, who, to summarize, was fond of two things, cigars and being strict.
I love that. That's like Papa.
It really is.
He's fond of more than just that. But
yeah, but cigars he loves.
He does.
It was said he was a stickler for manners, and he hated when gentlemen would wear hats indoors. Well, guess who is currently breaking that rule? My husband and two brothers, amazing, all prancing around inside with their ball caps. I suggested to Matt that I try holding the EMF. The second it touched my hand, it lit up like a fucking Christmas tree.
Hell yeah.
To test it wasn't a fluke, I asked some questions. Is somebody here with us? Lights. Did you used to work here? More lights. Do you wish these young gentlemen would remove their hats while inside? Lights going fucking crazy.
He's like, take your fucking hat off.
He's like, ding, ding, ding. The lights timed perfectly with the questions, so it was decided I was the designated EMF gal for the remainder of the tour, much to my husband's chagrin. This is also where my brothers started switching from disinterest to the heebie-jeebies. They felt extremely on edge the rest of the tour. That'll come into play later. Oh, and when I returned to that spot of the initial interaction later in the evening, I couldn't help but detect the faint smell of smoke, even though the area was a smoke-free zone. My asthmatic ass has been well-trained to know when smoke is present. It ain't easy being wheezy. Always funny. My other experience, I believe, was with one of the young girls who tragically passed while playing in a construction cart that smashed into the bay. I'm going to go into that when I go into that episode.
Oh, sad.
We are at the innkeeper's house where there are several tales of the girls tugging on clothing and playing hide and seek. Women are primarily who report having these interactions. I was sitting on a bench with my husband and one of my brothers. The other was already waiting in the car at this point. Still holding the EMF, I decided to ask some questions targeting the little girls. Are one of the girls here? Nothing. My name is Leanna. I'd like to play a game with you if you'd like. One little light flash. Would you prefer it if the boys left? Another teensy flash. At this point, my brother declared, fuck this, and went to join the other by the car. My husband switched to a bench further away. I placed the EMF reader down on the bench on the exact spot where my brother was sitting. Lights all the way to red. Ooh. I locked eyes with my husband, who saw the whole exchange, and he gave me a nod to continue. I spent the next 10 minutes or so playing a guessing game with whatever spirit had graced me with her presence. I would try to guess things like her favorite color, and the EMF would light up like crazy when I got the answer right. Even though I didn't experience anything crazy like a full-body apparition or disembodied voices, I still can't deny that the experiences I had were anything but paranormal and very exciting. My brothers to this day don't like talking about the tour, and I'm convinced they sensed something that made them uncomfortable. Thanks for reading my spoopy tales, and definitely keep it so weird that you stay open to experiences, because you never know what little ghost girl just wants to play a game with a kind stranger, but not so weird that you traumatize some teenage boys who just wanted to wear a baseball cap.
I love it.
I love that. Thank you, Leanna.
Thank you.
And that's going to play really nicely into my tale now.
Let's go.
So I'm covering the St. Augustine Lighthouse.
Yeah, y'all.
It was built in 1874, the one that is at least... So it was actually on there in one form or another on this island from way back in 1586.
Shit.
Is actually when there was like versions of this lighthouse.
That was a long ass time ago.
But the one we're going to talk about was built in 1874 originally. It is 100 Red Cox Road is where you can find it, and that's in St. Augustine, Florida.
Alrighty.
Now, I didn't realize while I began researching this that St. Augustine is the oldest city in America.
Oh, I didn't realize that either.
I had no idea.
For some reason, in my mind, it would be like Salem.
Yeah. Salem? Yeah.
Like somewhere in Salem.
That was like, what, 16 whatever?
Yeah.
So, yeah, I could see why you thought that. And then, like, you think, like, Roanoke.
Oh,
and
all that,
you know? And this was before that. Which is crazy. Yeah. Now, it was established by the Spanish in 1565, and it was named after St. Augustine, who was the patron saint of brewers. He was apparently a hard partier with a, quote, with wicked living and false beliefs. And then he was converted and became chill. So he's now the patron saint of stopping vices and chilling the fuck out, basically.
I kind of feel like in the beginning he was me.
Yeah.
And then he became you.
Yeah.
Like,
so St. Augustine is kind of like the dual sides.
He runs throughout us.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yep.
He sounded like a really fun time.
Yeah, so he's just now the patron saint of, you know, stopping, fucking around, and chilling the fuck out.
He's the patron saint of fuck around and find out.
Truly. Now, there were lighthouses before this one, like I said, as early as 1586, but they were destroyed by, you guessed it, the Civil War.
Yeah.
Or just fell prey to the elements and erosion, like mm-hmm. a couple, like at least one of them just like fell into the sea.
Imagine just like,
home. Yeah, sea's just like
home.
Scoop.
I'll take that.
So this one was built in 1874, and it still stands. In 1981, it was added to the National Register of Historic Places. And you can go visit if you want.
I won't.
I want to. I literally wrote, go do it.
I will.
Do it. It had keepers, like actual lighthouse keepers, until about 1955, when they were able to use the wonder of technology to make the light automated.
I feel like every lighthouse that I read about at some point or another became automated.
Oh, yeah. And it
was usually around like the 50s or 60s.
Yeah. And it kind of takes away the spooky greatness of a lighthouse to me, which is like a bummer. Like, it needs a keeper.
Get the electricity out of there.
I need a keeper.
Right. Just light the flame.
I digress. Now, it has 219 stairs in it, and it is the observation deck is 165 feet up.
All the way up.
Very high up. Now, back in the good old days, there were sometimes up to three lighthouse keepers at once that had to be running this lighthouse. There was always like a head keeper mm-hmm. and like two assistants.
Yep.
And shit went down, my friends. There were some real tragedies that happened with the keepers over the years. And I get so excited when I can find a newspaper about a ghost story, especially the origins of a ghost story.
Because then you can actually be like, oh, this is for real. Like, this isn't just like a rumor.
Exactly. And I found one for this one. So I'm happy. It's like, yes, confirmed. So we're going to go through the tragedies and the deaths that have occurred here. And then we're going to talk about the paranormal activity that has cropped up as a result of these.
LFG.
Now, the first thing that I want to chat about is the tragic tale of Joseph Andrew, who was the keeper in 1859. He was 60 years old, and he was known as a kind and respectful man.
Hell yeah.
He was doing his thing, in fact, called a very worthy keeper and a very worthy man by the Charleston Daily Courier.
Okay.
And at the time of his death, he was whitewashing the siding of the lighthouse, so he was, like, way up.
And he was still working.
60 years old, and according to the reports that day, the wind was wild.
Oh.
He was standing on some scaffolding, and it was bucking to and fro. Tragically, he fell from the scaffolding, and according to the article, which goes into graphic detail about exactly what happened.
Because it was probably, like, an old-timey newspaper.
Of course, it's from 1850-something.
Yeah, they're like, he fell off, and three of his ribs fell out, and his eyeball was over there.
Well, not quite that, but it's still crazy. It said, quote, he first struck the roof of the oil room 30 feet down, whence he glanced off and struck the stone wall which encloses the lighthouse, and thence to the ground, a stone pavement.
Oof.
It said it was about a 60-foot fall from where he went, and he died almost instantly. But neighbors heard his screams that day from very far away.
Oh, that stresses me out.
Yeah. Now, a very interesting and cool thing did come from this tragedy. So there is something good that came out of this a little bit. Joseph's wife, Maria, was obviously devastated by the tragic loss of her husband. And so according to reports, she said she went to the top of the lighthouse afterwards, all the way, 165 feet up. And in her grief, she just walked out onto that observation deck in her nightgown, and she just said into the whatever, what do I do?
Oh.
And she claimed very adamantly that she heard her husband's voice in the wind say, tend to the light.
My body did the
whom. I get that too, that little like,
whom.
Oh. Yeah. And he said, tend to the light.
Love, you're going to make me fucking cry out here today.
And she, crying in the club is what you're going
to
do.
Crying in the, Elena loves when I say that. I love
when you say that. But yeah, he said, tend to the light, so she knew exactly what she had to do.
Oh, and she was sitting alone in VIP.
I don't know what that means, but yes.
Oh my goodness.
Absolutely.
Kindy Muse.
Oh yeah, absolutely. And she said, so she knew exactly what she had to do here. And she got the entire community to back her. They all came together for her. And she became the first female lighthouse keeper in Florida history, being paid equally as the men in the job And became the first Hispanic American in the United States Lighthouse Service.
Hell to the motherfucking yeah.
Isn't that amazing to come out of that tragedy?
She went up there and her husband said, take care of the light. And she said, I will.
I will one up that. I will do even more.
She said, I will become the first woman ever to do all the things.
Isn't she amazing? So she like did the damn thing.
Hell
and the the community was totally behind her.
Amazing.
Which is just really cool.
Wow, I love this. And I feel like it's going to get so sad and creepy.
It gets really sad, but no one is like evil in this. Yeah. Like everyone, it's, and we'll get to it at the end, but like people who go to see this place, there's definitely some heaviness because there's a lot of tragedy.
Of course.
But nothing feels unwelcoming or angry, people say.
All right.
Nothing feels like malignant. You know?
Well, because it seems like, I mean, obviously we're at the beginning, but the two people or the one person who has passed away seemed like a great guy.
Well, and everybody who ran this place seemed like they loved it.
Right.
And then the people who take care of it now really love it.
So they're happy.
I feel like there's just a lot of like care put into this place.
That's the thing.
And I think it comes out.
The energy you put into your house or the place you live is the energy you get back.
Exactly. Now, next we have William Harn. He became head lighthouse keeper after all of that. Now, he had a lot of military service, and then he moved to Charleston, actually, where he worked on a lightship before becoming head keeper of the St. Augustine Lighthouse in 1864. So he was right after Maria's turn as head lighthouse keeper. He moved there with his wife, Kate, and their five daughters, Ruby, Molly, Catherine, Charlotte, and Ida. Eventually, they would have a sixth daughter named Grace. Adorable. So he's got
cute names.
Ruby, Molly, Catherine, Charlotte, Ida, and Grace.
I love.
And it auto-corrected to Grave.
And I was like, the youngest was named Grave.
So metal. But no. He was the head keeper of this lighthouse for 14 years.
Dang.
Tragically, though, he suffered from tuberculosis. Ooh. And in 1889, he passed away from it. And he passed away in the actual keeper's home on the property. So during his illness, his wife, Kate, took over everything. She ran the lighthouse.
There's
a lot of bad bitches in this.
Bad bitches aplenty.
Yeah. This is like a real, like, the women are just taken over. And it seems like it's, like, all equal and awesome, which is cool. She helped with the keeper duties while raising the children and also taking care of William.
And there was, like, 86 kids.
Yeah. After his death, the community rallied right around her too, and they signed a petition to have her appointed as the lighthouse keeper.
Dude, do you feel like that was like Maria? And like,
I feel like Maria was pushing that a little bit. And she was actually given the second keeper position, and another keeper was moved into the head position, but she was still second keeper.
Lame of them to not give her the head keeper position.
Well, and still really cool that the community rallied around her like they did. Like, that's really cool. So we have him who died in the house. And then we have like another cool like boss story.
Yeah, boss bitch.
But then September 24th, 1894, the next head keeper had moved into his spot. That guy was Joseph Rantia. His wife ended up dying in the keeper's home.
Now we got two.
Yeah. It's unknown how. We think it's just an illness or something happened. There's no like murder involved. There's no like anything crazy or sensational.
It was the 1800s. It was like natural causes because she was 25.
Exactly, because she was just a person.
Yeah.
Now, he was the keeper, the head keeper for 12 years.
Okay.
So people really love this job. They stick around for a while.
They do.
Now, in 1873, a truly harrowing tragedy happened at St. Augustine Lighthouse. This is where it gets bleak. During this time, there was a massive amount of construction being done on the lighthouse. They were renovating some of it. A man named Hezekiah Pitty lived on the grounds of the lighthouse and took the job as superintendent of lighthouse construction. He and his wife Mary had five children, four daughters, and one son. In order to make things move smoother, a system was created for construction. The workers used a railway cart to bring the supplies to and from wherever they needed to go. This cart ran a path from the lighthouse construction site all the way down to the water where the ships carrying all the supplies would come in. The cart would travel down this path. It would be stopped by one single piece of wood that acted like a makeshift gate to keep the cart from flying into the water when it was on the path.
Right.
And it worked because this cart was going down to the water empty at all times.
Yeah.
And then returning the other way full. But that wasn't always the case.
Oh.
You see, kids in the area like to use this as a ride.
Yeah, what the hell else were they going to do back then?
They would hop in this nice, you know, this once it was empty, they would hop in at the construction site and would ride it down the path to the water, only to be stopped by that all-important wooden board at the end.
Uh-huh.
They loved it, seemed like innocent fun to the adults because 1800s.
Right.
You know? Now, on July 10th, 1873, 15-year-old Mary Pitty, 13-year-old Eliza Pitty, and 4-year-old Carrie Pitty were in the cart with a friend who is never named, but is said to have been about 10 years old, and they believe that she might have been the daughter of a worker,
okay,
one of the construction workers. They took the ride down without knowing the wooden makeshift gate was lifted from the last supply trip.
Oh, no.
And had just never been placed back down. So the cart flew directly into the water, and it flipped over on top of the girls and basically pinned them underwater.
Oh, my God.
A worker named Dan Session, a construction worker, saw this, ran as fast as he could, and to save them, I mean, he, like, lifted that cart up. He pulled them out himself, like hero status, with his bare hands. But 3 of the 4 girls had drowned by the time he had grabbed them. Only 4-year-old Carrie lived.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, the other 3 had died. Now, the entire project was stopped. The entire town of St. Augustine completely shut down for the memorials and funerals.
Aww.
So sad. And so that is a huge tragedy that occurred on this land. And yeah, right outside of the lighthouse has direct
like
ties.
Right in the water.
So we're going to keep up. Remember, we're going to keep all these tragedies in mind, and then we're going to connect them back to some paranormal shit.
Okay.
But then in 1901, a man named Peter Rasmussen took over. That's who the listener tale Leanna was talking about.
Cigars and manners.
Yep. Took over as the head lighthouse keeper. And he is actually the longest running keeper. He did it for 23 years.
Wow.
I told you, people love this job.
They do.
Now, like we said, Peter also, aside from loving cigars and loving to be like hate tourists and like being very strict.
Yeah.
He loved good fancy shit. He loved smoking the best cigars, but he was super cranky. Now, visitors and staff, well, I don't think he was like a bad guy. I think he was just a strict guy.
Have you ever seen the movie Grumpy Old Men?
Yeah, he's just a grumpy guy.
They're all like that.
Now, visitors and staff will distinctly smell cigar smoke when they go into the lighthouse keeper's home and grounds. Like Leanna said, she smelled smoke, and it ain't easy being wheezy. She knows smoke. She's asthmatic, so she could smell it. And that is something that all the staff say they smell all the time. Very distinct cigar smoke.
Oh, man. The guys in our family love to have a cigar when they're together, and the freaking odor that they come back inside with.
It's very distinct, too.
It is.
That's, you know, some cigar smoke.
It's like a musky.
Yeah. It's just like very, you know it.
Yeah.
They also, people will see a man in a suit in the basement of the keeper's home walking around and causing people to feel anxious.
Oh.
And they believe it looks like Rasmussen, and it kind of makes sense that he would make people feel anxious because he's very strict. And
they're
very,
like, I'm underdressed.
And like Leanna said, he did not like when people wore hats indoors. Gentlemen, don't wear your hats.
Mm.
So
and
I think
ladies
he,
too.
He just has a vibe that's like, don't fuck up around me.
I mean, I feel like I would strive to impress him.
Yeah, I would.
You know what I mean? Like, I feel like I could make him my good old buddy.
Yeah, I think I would.
I think you would, too. I absolutely love the look of false lashes. They instantly give my eyes, like, more definition, more drama. They make me feel sassy, you know? But I don't love how hard they are to apply sometimes, or how messy lash glue can be if you make a mistake. I've literally glued my eye closed once, like I'm not joking you. And plus, for me, it's too much of a hassle to put them on every single day. That is why I am freaking stoked about today's sponsor, Roderm. Roderm offers access to a clinically proven eyelash growth serum for people who want longer, thicker, darker lashes. And if this treatment is right for you, you can get it prescribed online. The results speak volumes. In a 16-week clinical trial, eyelashes grew by 25% in length, 106% in fullness, and 18% in darkness. To get your prescription eyelash growth serum, all you have to do is complete a free online visit and answer standard questions about your eye health and medical history. After you submit your information, a Roderm affiliated healthcare provider will get back to you within 48 hours. And if prescribed, your eyelash growth serum will be delivered to your door with free 2-day shipping. There's no need for an in-person appointment, and you always have the option to message your provider with questions, which makes it so convenient. Right now, if prescribed, new members will receive 10% off eyelash growth serum from Roderm when you go to roderm.com/morbid. Shipping is free, and you'll get free unlimited follow-ups with your healthcare provider to support you throughout your eyelash growth journey. roderm.com/morbid.
So you heard it here first. We're going to make Peter Rasmussen our good old buddy.
You can sit with us, Peter.
Yeah, you can. It's fine.
I meet Peter at the park.
I get being cranky. I get it.
Sorry if you can hear my chair moving. I'm like moving a lot.
Sorry if you can hear my chair moving. I'm like moving.
A lot.
I like that. There's a lot of movement happening here. I'm moving a little bit.
My chair is like squeaky and yours is like not.
I know. I don't. Yeah. Mine isn't. Look. You're right. Because I'm moving around and I don't hear it.
I have like a farting chair.
You know? You have a gassy chair.
Yeah. She has IBS.
I was about to say it, but I was like, I'll let you say it.
I'm always going to say it.
I'm not going to out your IBS more than you already do.
Peter would hate this conversation.
Oh, Peter would be horrible. Oh, no. Maybe we wouldn't make him our good old buddy.
He would want it. Think of how often we burp.
Yeah.
He would not want to be our friend.
Out. Oh, man. Sorry, Peter.
And I do love a hat.
It's true. I do love a hat.
But I personally feel as though indoors it's bad luck. So.
Oh, there you go.
Mm.
There's a lot of bad luck stuff.
There is.
I gotta have you make a list.
I can do so.
Because I feel like I commit a lot of these faux pas.
Treasonous acts.
These treasonous acts that are gonna get you
luck.
Gonna get me got.
You're gonna get you mal luck.
Mal luck.
Mal luck.
Well, let's get to the last lighthouse keeper. You know?
Shall we?
Let's get to him.
We shall.
He manned the lighthouse from 1953 to 1955 when it became automated.
Ugh. Womp womp.
His name was James Pippin.
Is this the audition for Pippin?
Is this the audition for Pippin? Every lighthouse keeper lived on site in the keeper's home during their time at the post, and James did as well, but he eventually moved out of that home and off site, which was never done before.
I feel like that defeats the purpose of being the keeper.
Well, he said the reason was that he said, quote, that big house was haunted and I will not stay another night in it.
Ooh, spooky.
So he was like, fuck that, no way. He said he would hear maddening footsteps all night upstairs, but no one was there. And he said he just couldn't stand it anymore. It just felt like people were walking around everywhere.
Oh, I hate that.
Now, I mentioned before that after that last lighthouse keeper, like we said right now, mm-hmm. that light became automated. So now the lighthouse keeper's home was rented out because they didn't need to use it anymore. A man who was a leather crafter was renting it in the 1960s. He later reported that one night he woke up and he saw a little girl wearing a lace dress standing next to his bed, just staring at him.
Get out of my room.
And he said he shot up to look at her, and she just closed her eyes and vanished.
Well, thank you for getting out of my room.
She got out of it. She was like, sorry.
She just closed her eyes and left?
Just closed her eyes and vanished.
I wish I could. Honestly, what a superpower.
I know, you're just uncomfortable, and you're like, oop!
And I'm gone.
And poof.
Bye.
Yeah, she was out of there. She was like, ooh, sorry.
Sorry to disturb you. I don't know. She's like a little creepy. She's watching you sleep and then she's like, oh, you woke up. No fun.
Well, that's kind of what kids do, though. It makes sense. I guarantee you that was like the 4-year-old or something. Do your kids watch you sleep? Well, you'll just wake up and your kid's just standing there and they're like, mama, mama, like just staring at you. Ugh. And you'll open your eyes like, what? Ah. And they just like, yeah, they're
weird. Actually true. Your kid slept at my house not that long ago, and I woke up to one of them just at the foot of my bed, like, needing something. And I was like, what the fuck?
What the fuck?
And I was like, whoa.
That's what kids do. They freak you out in the middle of the night.
They do.
So I believe it. Now, there's a ton of activity in the basement of the keeper's home. And up to this day, and since 1955, people have reported it. And there are stories that a man may have hanged himself down there.
Ooh.
That's the only, like, real, like, ooh.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know what I mean? But I didn't find any newspaper articles about this, but again, it could have been a long time ago and some of that stuff just wasn't reported.
Yeah.
So, but it is a story that is often told and the reason why there's a lot of activity down there. They also think that maybe the kids like to play down there and that's why there's a lot of activity with the kids.
Like they're still playing in the afterlife. Yeah.
And we'll get to that because they definitely are still playing in the afterlife.
Awesome.
Now, in the living room / sitting room area, staff will often hear an older man coughing in the evenings when the place is completely empty.
That would drive you insane.
It would make me crazy.
Elena fucking hates the sound of a cough.
Oh, coughing and loud sneezes.
Slurps,
sniffs. I have like a real issue with sound.
You have misophonia.
I really do. Because that, it would make me absolutely batty. No, I could not handle it.
Now that we've said, you know, when you're like talking about something, I'm like, I need to cough.
I know, I'm like, I have to clear my throat now.
Let me clear my throat.
Now, they think this might be William Harn, who died of tuberculosis in the home. It makes sense.
It reads.
It does. It really does. Because, I mean, consumption leads you to cough a lot and cough up blood and awful things. Ooh, so gross, and he would spend a lot of time in the sitting room being taken care of and when he was like ailing. Aww. So it kind of makes sense.
I hate that he's still sick in the afterlife.
I know, it's kind of a bummer that you just like perpetually cough.
Or do you think maybe, I don't know, I don't want to get too theological with it.
Oh, go get with it.
I like, do you think that like certain parts of your energy like stay somewhere but other parts of your energy go off?
Yeah, like maybe he's off somewhere but his like coughing is just hanging around. Because you will hear these stories, like I've read a little bit about like people just in a like perpetual loop in the afternoon. Like if somebody fell off a building, they're just perpetually in a loop of falling off that building.
Oh, fuck that.
And it's like, is the person in a loop of falling off? Like, or is there energy in that loop?
Right. And is it all of their energy? Because their energy did plenty of other things while they were on this like earthly plane.
Yeah, it's like, are they really defined by that energy at the end of their life? Or is it, or are they? Because that's the thing that ended their life.
Oh, God. But then like, oh no.
Yeah,
no.
I don't
because then think of people that got like brutally murdered. They just get brutally murdered in the afterlife forever.
I don't know.
That's horrific.
I don't know. I don't, because there's all kinds of, I think there's all kinds of different like spiritual like energies and how they present themselves.
Because
I've read things about like perpetual loops like that where you'll hear the same thing over and over again.
Yeah.
But I just, it's very complicated.
And, well, and then is that like somebody in like a perpetual loop? Or did they have unfinished business and that's why they're in that loop?
Does it need to be broken somehow? Who knows?
Oh, fuck. Do you know how much unfinished business I have like already? I'm like, I can't die yet.
You're like, I can't die. I have to finish filing my taxes, you know?
I do.
Unfinished business.
I do need to do that. That deadline is hastingly approaching.
It is a lumen.
Can you say hastingly? No, you can't.
No. I was going to try to hastily, give it to you.
Hastily.
There you go.
Hastily.
Yeah.
Approaching?
With haste.
All right, I'm leaving.
With see, much haste.
I need to learn basic grammatics before I die.
You've got it. Unfinished business. We'll get you there. No. People will also see a woman at the top of the observation deck in
always
a long white nightgown with her hair flowing. And they believe this is Joseph Andrews' wife, Maria.
Oh,
manning that light, asking him what she should do.
We're going. I need to meet the fucking legend that is Maria.
I need to meet Maria.
I would just say to her, you bad bitch.
Yeah.
And then I would explain, that's a good thing these days.
Yeah, that is a good thing. Now, like, let me preface this by saying what I'm about to say is the highest form of compliment one can bestow upon thee.
Yeah, correct.
And then say, you bad bitch.
You bad bitch. You are totally Rufus.
You are Rufus. Spread it around like wildfire. So a guest who went there, because you can still go there. You can take these tours. I'll link it because it seems like a really cool place to go. The people who run it seem like they really care about it and they run a really cool place there. So I want everybody to give them as much business as they can if they can. Now, a guest was walking up the staircase, like ready to start a tour. And suddenly they like almost tripped.
Uh-huh.
And they were like, oh, what the fuck? And they looked down and their shoelace was tied to the railing.
Oh, my God.
And they were like,
there was
no explanation for it. No one on the tour could account for how it happened. There were other people on the tour that were like, I didn't see anybody do that.
Do you think it was like one of the little kids?
And they think it might have been one of the little kids, because that's a very much a little kid thing to do, to be like, yeah, I'm too naive and young to know that you could fall to your death by me doing this.
Or
like,
plot twist. Was that person wearing a hat?
Maybe. Was it Peter Rasmussen?
Peter
being
said,
like,
you're going to learn a lesson today.
You are going to learn today. I don't know. Either way, you can also hear giggling a lot. They hear that, like, little girls giggling. They hear it. Staff members hear it. Visitors will hear it.
Oh, that just, like, reminds me of the Blair Witch Project when they're in the tent, that one scene. And it scares the fucking daylights out of me.
And you hear see, like, the little hands on there.
No.
And you hear, like, kids, like,
lifting
things. I just got the chills.
Fuck.
I hate that shit.
Look at my arm. Look at my arm.
I have goosebumps.
Oh, I hate that part. Oy. I hate that whole movie. Fucks me up, man.
It fucks me up, man.
It does.
It really does.
It does.
Now, staff members will say that often they hear giggling at the top of the tower. And they'll go up to check.
Because
they're
just
like,
lolling.
I hope that's not an actual child up, like, 219 like stairs up there.
I usually
so they'll head up there, and as they get up there, they don't hear it anymore. And then all of a sudden they hear it down at the bottom. And they go down to the bottom, they hear it at the top.
Oh, that's
so
cute.
They're just like fucking with them.
That kid just wants you to get your cardio.
Yeah,
in.
They're like, you know what? Heart health is important.
Honestly.
So the owners and staff. Ramps up in February. Yeah, right. The owners and the staff think that this is definitely the Pity Girls and their friend, mm-hmm. like playing hide and seek.
Cute.
They'll also lock and unlock doors.
Not so cute.
And doors that are very hard to push open will like slam open or slam shut. For no reason. Like, they can't be blown by the wind. This is just, like, a force is actually doing it.
That's wild.
Now, during another tour, visitors and a guide used an EMF reader to ask the girls if they wanted to play hide and seek. And they got really intense readings and walked around trying to, like, play along with them.
Mm-hmm.
Now, apparently, they were, like, walking around being like, are you over here? Like, I'm gonna find you. Like, pretending to act That's like cute. You would with a kid. And apparently, they found that it was spiking again under the staircase. And so they pretended to, like, find them by mm-hmm. being like, found you.
Mm-hmm.
Then the reading dropped. And then they found it again by the kid's play table. Oh. So it was like, they were like, found you. And they were like, aha. And they, like, ran somewhere away. Else. Like, it worked out, and it only stopped when more guests arrived in that area.
And then they were, like, freaked out.
Because they didn't want to do it in front of everybody.
Oh, my goodness.
Now, this next one gave me chills.
The whole fucking thing is giving me chills.
So, there are times when people on tours will see a young girl, and they'll talk to her, and then they find that she vanishes. They either look behind them and look back, and she's gone, or she's just not there all of a sudden.
You don't understand how badly I want to talk to, like, a ghost kid.
Right?
And, like, I want to, like, not know and then later find out that I had
That's what
a
I
combo
want.
With a ghost
yeah,
kid.
Yeah, I want to not know as it's happening.
Right.
Now, often these girls are wearing period clothing and people think they're just in costume
like
as part
actors.
Of the tour or something. But one time during a tour, a woman walked up to another woman on the tour and was like, your daughter is so adorable and she was so well behaved. Like, I just wanted to tell you, like, she was just like being like a really cool woman complimenting another woman,
yes.
which I was like, fuck yeah.
Because she just see mom.
Right. She walked up to her and was just like, your daughter is just so well behaved. Like, I just wanted to tell you, like, great job.
Great job, mama.
And this woman was like, wow, that's really nice of you to say, but I don't have a daughter.
Oh, fuck.
And she was like, what? I'm not sure what you're talking about.
Not only was she like, my daughter's not here today. She was just like, I straight up don't have
a daughter.
She was
like, I literally don't have a daughter.
I love that she took the time to say thanks first.
She was like, that's super
Thank
nice.
Thank you so much.
Like, I'm all about women supporting women and like moms supporting moms. And like, Ta-da. That was really cool of you to do, but and like continue to do that with other people. But I don't have a daughter. So the woman who had complimented her was like, oh, I'm sorry. There was a little girl standing next to you this entire tour, and she was being so well behaved. And the other guests confirmed this as well. They were like, yeah, we saw that little girl. And the woman was shocked and was like, I don't have a child.
Oh my God.
I don't have a child with me. And it was later confirmed with records that no child had been present on that particular tour or any tour going on at that time.
Bitch, I'm vibrating out here.
Yes. So that one freaked me out the most, that it was like there was a little girl standing with you the whole time. And she was like, excuse me?
Oh my goodness.
They also found footprints in the dirt of a little kid with bare feet.
Fucking
but
adorable.
No children were on the grounds, and the footprints just vanished into the keeper's house.
That's so cute.
Yeah.
I feel like a lot of people would not have that reaction to that statement,
no, but
I
really
think
is
that's
cute.
Adorable.
Like a little barefooted ghost
yes.
kid just being like, doo, doo, doo.
Like, I'm just going to go in for a snack.
Just going to play some hide and seek. Cutie I'm going to little... hang out on this tour and see what they say about me. Like,
I know.
Just, like, I'm just going to see how this goes.
They're probably like, why are these people dressed like so shittily?
So weird.
Like, they look
like,
horrible.
What the fuck? Now, people around the lighthouse and visitor staff, this is a little scarier. They hear horrifying screams daily and nightly here.
Awesome.
And in fact, it has happened so often and the screams are so intense that the police have been called a lot because people think someone's being like injured or
I
hurt.
I love that at one point you were like, nobody feels like it's like
yeah.
malevolent.
Well,
like, it's totally fine. Everyone feels happy.
Here's the thing. It's true. I will stand by that still. This they are attributing to Joseph Andrews' fall.
That's what I was
and
thinking.
And the fact that his screams were heard so far away, but you're right, like it's not a great thing, but it's not something like that I think people
it's
feel is gonna like hurt them,
yeah,
but it's just like sad.
That's
more than anything,
yeah,
is that like you hear this like painful scream all the time,
right? Because you're like, is that just happening? Like,
yeah,
we
you're
just
not
saying
you're not just gonna like let it go.
No,
like they would have us believe
that.
Happened in the Kitty Genovese case,
even
they would just
didn't.
Even though it didn't, but you're not just gonna be like, oh, someone else will take care of that. You gotta call and be like, hey, I don't know what's going on, but I hear some shit. Like, you
yeah.
should probably check it out.
Don't fall for the bystander effect.
Yeah, don't do that. But Shane and Ryan from BuzzFeed Unsolved came here
you
in 2019.
Our like counterparts.
Our, like, counterparts. It's a great episode.
Yeah, you were showing me clips.
It's really good. And Ryan was very excited about going into this place, like, as he should be. When they were in the parlor, I thought it was really interesting. They distinctly heard a man cough, and they got it on tape.
Yeah, I heard that one.
It's spooky as fuck.
And is it Ryan who tries to, like, explain it away?
No, that was Shane.
Shane tries to explain it away a little bit, and I was like, I don't know, man. I was on Ryan's side.
I will say, even Shane couldn't really explain this one away. He really tried to, and he's usually pretty successful at making me be like, oh, yeah, you're right.
Yeah,
but
counterparts.
This one... No, it was with Ryan. I was like, that was a cough.
It was.
That was a man's cough. And they were sitting in the living room, like parlor area. Right. It was crazy. And also, just to leave you on this, they did have a Ghost Hunters episode on this location, also in 2019, actually. And they set up REM pods on each level of the lighthouse. And a REM pod are like little electromagnetic field readers. Mm. So anytime like there's an ambient temp change... and an energy field disturbance, it will set them off. You'll hear beeping and, like, lights.
Very cool.
And as they went up the spiral staircase, they all started going off together. And they were responding to questions.
Oh.
And there's also footage of a huge bang coming from the top of the stairs when no one else was in it.
A huge bang freaks me the fuck out, because that used to happen at Ma and Papa's house, like, from time to time.
Yeah, that's scary to me.
It sets my whole body on, like...
a flame.
I sporadically combust every time it happens.
It's really scary. Despite the tons of paranormal activity they found, Grant Wilson, who's like one of the ghost hunter guys, he said he felt safe. He didn't feel any malice from any of it, which makes sense because it's all either, you know, tragic accidents or keepers who just loved that lighthouse and seemed not to want to leave it. And he actually told Kelsey Lloyd, who is the special programs manager at the lighthouse, that he believed... it's becoming more and more active each time they visit, because he said it just keeps getting more and more each time they're there. He said that's because he thinks the people who run that lighthouse love the building, they love and appreciate the history, and they love and appreciate and respect the people who called it home for so long. So they said, I think the spirits feel safe here.
And they, like, feel like they're comfortable to let themselves out.
And, which is like a really nice thing, because you're like, wow, it's nice that it's being taken care of by people who want to, like, respect the history and show it.
That was, like, so scary and beautiful.
Yeah, and that's the St. Augustine Lighthouse.
Much like yourself. Scary and beautiful.
Wow. The ultimate compliment.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
Wow, I really liked that one. Because that one was, like, very wholesome.
It was. It really made me, like, I was like, I can't stop, won't stop. And there's also just so much history with it. I was like, wow.
I want to go.
It made me feel like, not because I felt bad for all these, like, tragedies that happened there.
Yeah.
But it also made me feel like, wow, like, these keepers really loved this fucking lighthouse.
Yeah.
Like, I was like, damn.
I love that.
It was just, like, a nice thought.
Mine are not as, like, wholesome at all. In fact, my first lighthouse is called Execution Rocks Lighthouse.
I love that.
It's in Long Island.
Truly love that.
And if you don't say Long Island, then you're wrong.
Long Island.
Long Island. We went through a period the other day where we just couldn't stop saying that. So, the Execution Rocks Lighthouse, I'm going to tell you about it.
I love it.
It is smack dab in the middle of New Rochelle City and Sands Point Village in Long Island.
Long Island.
Long Island. And it was built in 1849. And this is a fun fact. Designed by a man named Alexander Paris. Does that sound familiar?
Yes, it does.
He, fun fact, designed Boston's Quincy Market.
I knew that sounded familiar.
When I was reading it, I was like, Alexander Paris? Who? Why do I know that name?
Is he? I wonder if he's related to Reverend Samuel Paris from Salem.
Should Google that.
I should. I'm going to look that up, because all of a sudden I was like, wait a second.
It's
we're in Boston here.
Double R.
It might be.
Oh my gosh, imagine.
Alexander Paris.
Alexander Hamilton.
Samuel Paris.
Are you bros?
Are you related?
We're just on ancestry.com.
We're going to check.
BRB.
All right. There is an Alexander Paris that is related to him.
Okay.
I'll look deeper into this and I'll let you know.
Okay, cool. Yeah. Very interesting question.
Yeah.
So yeah, Alexander Paris built this lighthouse and built more than just Boston Quincy's Market. He, like, built a few other things.
He built some stuff.
He was an architect.
Some things and some buildings.
They do be building.
They do.
It wasn't until about, like, 20 years later that the keeper's house was built right next to the lighthouse itself. And before that, the keeper of the lighthouse would just sleep in the actual lighthouse itself.
That's amazing.
For me, I feel like that sounds like one of the scariest things ever.
100% it does.
And not only because this place is haunted, but because it's literally just in the middle of the ocean on a fucking desolate ass island surrounded by scary rocks named execution rocks.
Yeah.
I also just generally live by the rule that if there's like not a Target nearby, it's not the homestead for me.
And I doubt there's a Target nearby.
There wasn't.
No.
I don't think in 1849.
No.
Probably not. Yeah.
I don't know.
So you had to be, like, it goes without saying, a brave ass human to decide to be the keeper of this lighthouse. And because of the reputation of this area was like so haunted and fucking precarious, it was actually the first case in which the U.S. Lighthouse Board allowed the keeper to take the job without signing a contract.
Wow.
Yeah. The book Spookiest Lighthouses by Terence Zepke, I think it is, suggested that this was because, quote, the only way to entice applicants was to let them know they could leave whenever they wanted.
Oh my God.
Like, they were like, so we would love for you to stay and take care of this lighthouse, but we do understand that it is desolate and scary as fuck and also a little bit haunted.
A little bit haunted.
So you don't have to sign the dotted line.
Like, so you know what? You leave whenever you want.
Yeah.
You are not bound here.
Yeah. So they're, you're sitting there and you're like, okay, it's haunted, but like, why do they need the option to leave like whenever they want?
Yeah, literally in the middle of the night.
Because this lighthouse is incredibly haunted. What do US News, PC Magazine, and Popular Science have in common? They all ranked Simply Safe Home Security as the best home security of 2021. In fact, US News just named Simply Safe the best home security system of 2022 as well. And Ashkel also named it the best ever because I'm obsessed with my Simply Safe. In fact, while we were recording this episode, I got this notification that said somebody was at my front door. And I said, who the hell is at my front door? And then it turns out it's just my mail lady and I love her. So I was like, hey, girl, thanks for the mail. That's the other thing. You can talk to the people like through your little doorknob video thing. I love it. Simply Safe protects your whole entire home around the clock. Every door, every window, and room. It's backed by the best 24/7 professional monitoring in the business, and they're ready to dispatch police, firefighters, or EMTs to your home. With a comprehensive set of sensors and cameras, including the all-new wireless outdoor security camera, which I personally have and love, you always know what's going on inside and outside of your home. Literally, we'll be like sitting in the living room watching TV at night and I hear a noise and I'm like, what the fuck was that? And then I'm like, oh wait, I can literally just look at my camera and find out that that was probably a raccoon and not a burglar. A burglarer. Yeah, that's right. Simply Safe is less than $1 a day, and you can set it up in around like 30 minutes. It's really simple to use. It didn't even take me 30 seconds. It took me a lot more than 30 seconds. It didn't even take me 30 minutes, though, is what I meant to say.
The quickest installer in the land.
30 seconds. Didn't even take me that long. There's never a long-term contract. You can even try it for 60 days risk-free to see if you like it. And if you don't, send it back free of charge. Simply Safe protects over a million homes in the United States alone. You can customize the perfect system for your home in just a few minutes at simplysafe.com/morbid. Go today and claim a free indoor security camera plus 20% off with interactive monitoring. Go to simplysafe.com/morbid. Dude, life is so freaking busy. You got work, you gotta like clean your house if you don't want to live in a pigsty. You have groceries to buy if you want to eat and feed yourself. It's like so much to do. At the end of what can feel like an endless workday, the last thing I want to do is cook dinner. I'm like, no. In fact, I just texted Drew, what are we making for dinner? And he said, how about Daily Harvest? Because when your fridge is empty, the urge to order in and skip the cooking happens all too often. But thanks to Daily Harvest, I don't have that takeout temptation anymore. Daily Harvest helps me keep my freezer fully stocked with options that are delivered right to my door. They're delicious, nourishing, and the best part is that they're ready within minutes. Daily Harvest delivers delicious harvest bowls, soups, flatbread snacks, smoothies, lattes, cookie bites, and more, built on organic fruits and vegetables. Daily Harvest has delicious options for any time of day. You got breakfast, lunch, dinner, snacks, dessert. Everything is always on hand in your freezer and ready to enjoy when you need it. I am obsessed with Daily Harvest. They have this freaking smoothie that tastes like it's ice cream. It's the strawberry and peach smoothie. I swear to God, I feel like I'm eating breakfast dessert. It's so good. And then at dinner, I just actually recently tried the tomato and basil flatbread, and my mouth is actually starting to water. Like, I'm going to have to swallow my spit in a minute because I really want that. It is absolutely delectable. See, I had to swallow my spit. With Daily Harvest, I never have to question if the food I'm eating is good for me. They create food that is both good for my health and the health of the planet. I love that. By supporting farmers who invest in practices that increase biodiversity and improve the health of our soil and delivering food in recyclable and compostable packaging, Daily Harvest does the work, so all you have to do is eat. And we all know I'm good at that, so thanks a lot, Daily Harvest. By the way, new on the scene is their delicious harvest bakes for those moments when you're looking for like homemade feels without any of the work. They are ready to bake veggie packed dishes, sizzling with gourmet level flavors that are big enough to share, but like you're not going to want to. Avoid the takeout temptation and get Daily Harvest. Go to dailyharvest.com/morbid to get up to $40 off your first box. That's dailyharvest.com/morbid for up to $40 off your first box. dailyharvest.com/morbid. It got its name Execution Rocks because any ship that wrecked onto the rocks would lose all its passengers like right away.
Cool.
Because they were just so intense. Like immediately Your boat would just be like, goodbye.
Just shattered. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Ciao.
Ta-ta for now. Ta-ta forever. And over the years, people just started saying that everyone on board was executed by the rocks.
Oh, that's really creepy, but like really metal.
Yeah. Both.
Yeah.
Get you a rock who can do both.
Yes, and they did.
And they did the damn thing.
Oof.
I'm also, like, I'm sure some of the hauntings came from the sailors who lost their lives on the rocks.
For sure.
But sailors were not the only ones who lost their lives on the rocks.
Rocks, man.
Say rocks again.
If these rocks could talk.
Rocks. Back in the day, though, the British, they were like trying to avoid doing public executions because they didn't want to give the colonists another reason to be all pissed off at them.
Yeah, of course.
So they decided on this other totally humane way to, you know, execute those who had broken the law.
And it involves rocks, so I'm sure it's completely fine.
It's super humane. They would bring the criminals to the rocks surrounding the island during low tide. Chain them to said rocks.
Yeah, I see where this is going.
And leave them there to wait until the tide would come in and eventually drown them.
Slowly.
Yeah. Oh,
inch by inch.
Want to know how slow?
Yeah.
The whole process of them being drowned would take 10 to 12 hours.
My. They would just slowly watch that water rise.
Yeah.
Oh.
And the tide would keep going in and out, so like it would get a little bit closer, maybe cover like your waist and then go back out again and then coming even more and like you're starting to swallow water, so you're drowning like as slow as humanly possible.
Girlies, that's not humane.
Girlies, that ain't it.
That is not humane.
That is not.
You are incorrect.
It was torturous. And like if the whole process itself wasn't torturous enough, they, like some people said, that they would apparently leave the bodies of the previously executed people there, just still chained to the rocks.
I believe that.
In order to just scare the next batch of criminals that would be brought to their final resting place.
They're like, this is what you have to look forward to.
Yeah. So people who lived nearby would hear the men, like, screaming for from help? The beaches.
Oh, God.
And it went all hours of the night. And still to this day, people report hearing screams coming from the island in the area of those rocks. Yeah, like that.
Yeah,
like that.
Just like that.
Louder, though.
That was like not even in my control.
No.
That scream. That just came out. That's all I had.
That was an involuntary movement. Just
like,
Yeah.
I don't like it.
That's like.
That's really gnarly.
The most.
That's very gnarly.
You think that's gnarly?
I do.
Yes. It is gnarly.
Yeah.
But we're going to introduce a character that you know.
So, that I know? That I love?
No.
Okay.
I hope not, at least.
Oh, no.
Okay, so according to that book that I mentioned earlier, Spookiest Lighthouses.
Spooky.
There was this psychic, and I know how you feel, but, like, I think she was onto something.
Hey, some of them are.
Yeah. She visited the lighthouse on one occasion, and she said she felt the spirit of a, quote, aggravated male.
Ooh.
There was an aggravated male energy in the air.
See, isn't I
there
always? Her. Exactly.
Yeah. Like, you could just say that. You could say that at like a Tedeschi's and you're probably right. Yeah,
there's an aggravated male.
Yeah. So looking into the history of the lighthouse and the area surrounding it, a lot of people have come to the conclusion that that man could be someone we've talked about on the show before, one Carl Panzram.
Stop.
Because he used the ocean surrounding the island to dispose of a good amount of people that he had murdered.
Yes. When you said Execution Rock, yes. For some I remember being like, why do I know that? But mm-hmm. I didn't. It just wasn't ringing a bell.
He would literally throw the bodies like 100 yards away from the lighthouse.
Holy shit.
Yeah.
Carl.
Freaking Carl.
Pan's Ram.
Pan's Mania.
Yeah.
Some people are like, okay, it could be Carl, definitely.
I mean, he was an aggravated male.
He was angry spirit.
It's one way to describe him.
So they're like, it could be Carl, or it could be one of the people who Carl murdered and then disposed of in the area.
Yeah.
And interestingly enough, people who stayed at the lighthouse say that they feel pressure on their chests,
ooh.
Especially in the living room of the house, I guess. And Carl Panzerheim did strangle a few of his victims.
Yep.
So I wonder if that could have something to do with it.
Oh, if Carl's just hanging out there, just like hurting people still?
I mean, I fully believe that he would do so.
100%.
Or it could even be the feeling of like not being able to breathe because of all the people who drowned. Right?
Absolutely.
So while the Coast Guard was running and caring for the lighthouse before it became automated.
Automated.
Boo.
Boo to automated lights.
Yeah, it's like, come on. I want it to be old
school.
We need
an old wily keeper.
We do.
That's who we need.
So while they were still caring for it, some members of the Coast Guard who spent the night there said that the alarms would go off all the time and they couldn't figure out why and they could never find a source for it. But there were actually two fires that took place in the history of the lighthouse. So I kind of feel like maybe it's the lighthouse itself just trying to keep everybody on their toes.
Yeah, it's just like, hey, you awake?
Hey, are you up?
Be on alert.
Hello.
Just in case.
So if you are like brave enough to spend the night at Execution Rock's lighthouse,
awesome.
And you know, maybe you want to experience something funky, you can spend the night.
Okay.
You can spend the night. It doesn't really sound like a very luxurious experience. So like keep that in mind.
Keep if you're that someone in mind like me. When booking your stay.
Yeah, you have to take... I saw some people say that the boat ride was 25 minutes and other people say 45. So obviously it just depends on where you're taking your boat from.
Yeah.
But you have to be able to like endure that boat ride, be able to climb a ladder onto the island itself because it's literally like you
like craggy rocks.
Yes. Like you pull up in your boat and then you have to like reach over to the ladder and steady yourself and climb onto the island.
Whoa.
Yeah. Like, no, thank you. And then if you want to go into like the lighthouse this way, you can do so. There's a tiny little passageway that connects the lighthouse to the keeper's house.
Ooh.
So you can go through there.
I love it.
I want to do that so
I
bad.
Do this.
But I have seen it recommended in literally every source on the lighthouse that you have to wear closed toe shoes. You have
I mean, to that makes sense.
Also be aware that there is no running water.
And okay, I hate that.
You also need to be prepared to spend the night on a cot if you are spending the night.
I mean, all that sounds pretty terrible.
It does. So I would like to make you aware that day trips are also available.
Okay, I was going to ask that. I was like, I would like to do a day trip.
Yeah, maybe you're too scared of the hauntings or maybe you're like me and you're too scared of the lack of running water.
Yeah, see, that's where I'm out.
Yeah.
Like, that's where I've checked out of this whole thing. But like... I'll go at night and do like a ghosty tour and then be like, bye.
And I think you can. I saw that they did like this cool like Halloween boat ride around
the
area.
I love when they do that shit.
Yeah, it was fun. So you can do a day trip. You can do a night trip. You can just do as you please.
It's not that far either.
But please also be aware that according to visitalltheplaces.com, there are cannibalistic seagulls that live on the island. And there are apparently bird bones all over the place. And this source, visitalltheplaces.com, had pictures, and there were bones everywhere.
Oh.
Seagull bones, just everywhere.
Okay, I mean, as not a seagull, I feel okay with that. Like, I'm sorry, seagulls, but,
yeah.
Like, I feel okay.
What if they become, like...
What if they branch out?
Yeah, what if they branch out?
And they're just like, I'm sick of my own.
What if they eat too many seagulls and then there's none left and then they have to start eating
humans?
Start
coming at the tourists.
I mean,
bring a parasol, I suppose.
Yeah.
And just whoop, whoop.
Get out of here.
That's our sounds of fighting off seagulls.
You're whoop, 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 whoop.
And I'm chung, chung. That's it.
So that's Execution Rock's Lighthouse.
Damn. I want to go there.
Yeah. It was recommended a lot in the folder where we have it in the Gmail, but nobody had any experiences
there.
Really? So if you have had an Execution Rocks experience, I would love to
hear about it. Please tell us, because we're going to go there at some point.
Yeah, Long Island.
It's not that far at all.
How many fucking times have we been to Long Island?
Long Island.
I love Long Island.
We got family on Long Island.
Hi, cousins.
Hello, cousins. You know who you are, I hope.
Imagine if somebody was like, I'm your cousin.
I'm, whoa, 23 and me.
I mean, yeah.
I know my cousins, okay?
I know my cousins. I know most of them. I know them.
I know them, whatever. Cousins, you know what I mean?
Cousins.
It's losing all meaning.
It is. It's like rocks. Say rocks. True. Again.
Rocks.
So my next lighthouse is Wood Island Lighthouse, and it's in Saco Bay, Maine.
Oh, okay. We're staying on the East Coast. I like it.
Yeah, I didn't even do that on purpose.
These are places we can easily go to. I like that.
We could. So this lighthouse and keeper's home, they were built in 1808 by Benjamin Beale and Duncan Thaxter.
Yep.
Like, I believe that.
Yeah, yeah. I was like, I'm for that.
You were born to build things.
Yeah, lighthouses especially.
Or maybe not.
Oh.
The original lighthouse was about 45 feet tall, and it stood next to the keeper's house, which was so fucking small.
I was gonna say.
When it was first built, it was a one-story home with measurements of 17 by 26 feet.
That's tiny.
That's a tiny. That's like all you people out there that want tiny homes. Here you go.
That's tiny small.
That's tiny small. Close quarters, if you will.
Yeah, you got to be real friendly with whoever you live with.
Hopefully you just live solo dolo.
Yeah.
So the lighthouse itself actually had to be rebuilt multiple times.
I feel like a lot of them have to.
Yeah, I mean, it makes sense because they're built in like the 1800s. And
next to the sea. Which is like, that sea is going to eat that eventually.
Erosion is a thing.
That's how the sea rolls.
Yeah, but this one was built like horribly. The original builder's work was really bad. And then the second build was somehow worse than the first.
Good.
And just left plaster like dripping into the ocean.
Cool. We're learning from our mistakes.
We are totally. Finally, in about 1854, we did learn from our mistakes.
Cool.
Because that's when the final build took place. And in the rebuild, they actually attached the keeper's house to the lighthouse with like a covered walkway.
Ooh.
So it was very luxurious. I know. For lighthouse vibes. And eventually in the 1900s, a second story was added to the keeper's house.
Look at that. We're moving up.
I know. Luckily, the builder in 1854 knew what he was doing because it was the last time Wood Island Lighthouse needed to be restructured.
Ooh.
And today, it's known as the second oldest lighthouse in Maine.
Oh, we love to see it.
I know. Maybe the next, I don't know if this one is haunted, but it is the oldest in Maine. Portland Headlight.
Oh, I've heard that, yeah.
Yeah, so hopefully it's
haunted. I'm assuming that's haunted. We'll look into it.
Right in if you think it is.
Yeah, have you been there?
Yeah, I don't know. So throughout the years, the lighthouse has had more than 200 keepers.
Whoa.
But one of the most famous keepers, I said famous.
It's hard.
Yeah. One of the most famous keepers.
The famous.
Is Thomas Orcutt.
Orcutt.
And he served as keeper from 1886 to 1905.
Wow, look at him.
Turn of the century. He started almost 80 years after the lighthouse was originally built, and he moved onto the island with his little dog, Sailor.
Yeah, he did.
He did.
He did.
And in 1873, a fog bell tower was built near the lighthouse, and a 1,300-pound bell was placed inside.
Damn.
Thomas's dog, Sailor, somehow learned to ring the bell for himself. And even though there was an automated way for the bell to ring, Sailor was like us, and he was like, I'd like to keep it old school, please.
Yeah. And he became, I'm working in this lighthouse.
He became the famous bell ringer.
Oh my God, stop. That's precious.
Anytime a ship would pass and sound off, Sailor would do the same in return.
That's precious.
He'd be like,
oh my God, can you imagine if you like sound off when you come in and you hear that bell ring and you're like, thanks, Sailor.
It's Sailor. He became famous. They wrote like multiple newspaper articles about him.
I love it. Good for Sailor.
I know.
Get it, man.
So Thomas Orcutt was still serving as the keeper in the late 1890s when the island's most famous tragedy took place.
Uh-oh.
So I'm going to tell you a little story.
Tell me a story.
In 1896, there were two 24-year-old guys living in a shack on the opposite side of the island. It was a pretty big island. The shack was really supposed to be used as like a den for hens. But the man who owned the structure, Frederick Milliken, knew that these two men named Howard Hobbs and William Moses were just like having hard times. So he was like, you know what? Why don't you just live there? Just pay me like a small amount in rent and like just don't be dicks.
Don't be dicks, all right?
Yeah.
That's really all I have to ask.
And Frederick was like a business kind of guy. He was an officer and also a game warden. And he lived on the island in his own home. Now, his home and the little shack were where Hobbs and Moses lived. Those were the only two buildings on the island other than the lighthouse and the keeper's house.
Mm-hmm.
And like I said, they were on opposite sides of the 35-acre island.
Oh.
So this is fucking huge.
Yeah.
So on Sunday, May 31st, 1896, William and Howard had spent the day drinking at Old Orchard, which is hilarious because that was going on in 1896 and is still happening today.
I was going to say, it doesn't feel different.
Like, I've gone drinking at Old Orchard.
Little snapshot.
I know. Weird. Yeah. I'm like, that's crazy. So they got to that point where their drinking was making them act a fool. And at one point, the sheriff in Old Orchard actually detained them.
Oh, they were really acting a fool.
Oh, they were acting a fool with a capital F.
Yeah.
So the sheriff detains them and they're like, we're going to put you in the drunk tank if you don't get your shit together.
Yeah.
Somehow they were able to convince the sheriff that they would like clean their act up.
We're fine.
But they didn't.
No.
They spent the night in Old Orchard and spent most of the next day in Old Orchard as well, drinking the day away.
Oh, I feel sick just listening to this.
I know, honestly. But they probably at that point needed like some hair of the dog.
Yeah.
So by the late afternoon, they were ready to make their way back home. They hopped in their small boat and they headed toward Wood Island. And when they got back to the island, they ran into their landlord, Frederick Milliken. And they owed him some money.
And they're acting a fool.
And they're acting a fool, which is of no interest to Frederick.
Yeah, he's not interested. I'm with Frederick. I'm not interested.
So they passed by, and Milliken told Howard Hobbs that he needed to speak with him later on. I think William Moses seemed to be doing all right with his rent, but it was really Howard Hobbs that was, like, not killing it with the rent game.
Yeah, come on, Hobbs.
Yeah, it's like, don't keep buying beer. You gotta pay for your hen den.
Yeah.
Okay?
You sure do.
So Hobbs and Moses acknowledged Milliken, and they were like, yep, we'll be out in just a minute. Like, we're just gonna go pee, I guess.
We're gonna go do those things.
Yeah. So first they wanted to drop off their stuff at home, and Hobbs wanted to grab his rifle so that they could do some bird hunting. So Moses knew that Hobbs had been drinking all day, and he was still pretty drunk. So he was like, maybe you should, like, leave that gun behind because you're, like, shit-faced.
Yeah.
And Hobbs was like, I'm fine.
Direct quote.
It is.
Yeah.
I took that from a newspaper.
Yep. You delivered it beautifully.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
I worked on it.
I knew you did.
I know.
I could tell.
And he
paid
took,
off.
He took his rifle with him.
He did.
After his...
Yeah, of course he did. He wasn't going to leave that rifle.
No, he's got to go.
He said it. I heard it plain as day.
He did. He said, I'm taking this with me.
Yeah.
And then he said, I'm going to hunt some birds.
Yeah.
So they walk back over toward Milliken's place, and he notices the gun, and he's like, is that loaded? Because he's like, you're not in any position to be carrying around a loaded gun. Yeah,
he's like, I'm a little fucking terrified of you right now.
Yeah. So Hobbs got within arm's reach as he told Milliken that the gun was not loaded, but Milliken was like, let me see that for myself, and started to grab the gun away from him. And that was not great. He reached forward, and as he did so, Hobbs picked up the gun. And this was a rifle.
Yeah.
Picked up the gun, does whatever he does with it, and shot Milliken point blank in the chest.
Oh, no, Hobbs.
And Milliken's wife had been standing in the doorway the entire time.
No.
So she, her son, and William Moses were now witnesses to a crime. Remote hybrid world, when information is just scattered across tools, it's so hard to have the full context to get your work done, especially when you're working cross-functionally. Notion, though, provides a home base for your organization and your team by combining note-taking, document sharing, project management, and wikis into one tool, giving your teams full transparency into each other's projects and everyday workflows. For companies of all sizes, Notion provides one central and customizable workspace that can be tailored to fit any team and bring all teams together to get more done and move faster. And if you own a small business or a big business or any kind of business, you know that you got to move quickly. What sets Notion apart from all other project management tools is that it not only allows you to be more efficient in your work life, but can seamlessly transition into being a useful tool in your personal life. Notion is an all-in-one team collaboration tool that combines note-taking, document sharing, wikis, project management, and so much more into one space that is simple, powerful, and beautifully designed. With powerful integrations, an API, and seamless navigation, you'll have everything you need in one spot so that you can make speed your advantage without the silos and context switching that slow companies down. Plus, Notion has a worldwide network of millions of users creating templates, tutorials, and new inspiration. The product is getting better all the time, and you will always have the support that you need. Learn more and get started for free at notion.com/morbid. That's notion.com/morbid to help you take the first step toward an organized, happier team today. Notion.com/morbid.
Oh, no.
So Mrs. Milliken goes and gets her husband and like carries him inside and gets him settled because he's still breathing at this point.
Oh, my God.
And she has him lay down, and she sends William Moses to get a doctor. But he has to, like, row to another island to get a doctor.
Oh, fuck.
Or to other land to get a doctor. And she tries to get the gun away from Howard Hobbs. She's like, you got to stop, get that out of here.
You got to stop shooting people.
Please.
Yeah.
So he gets mad and he threatens to shoot her too if she touches his gun. He's like, I don't want her touching my gun. And apparently at this point, Frederick like raised his head, Frederick Milliken, and was like, she's never done anything to you. Like, you leave her alone.
Oh, what? You know, a man.
Yes, he's
a
like good man. Dying from a gunshot wound.
Look at him. He's just like, no, what? Leave my wife alone.
Yeah.
You dick.
You actual asshole. So instead of escalating the situation more, Mrs. Milliken looks at Howard and she's like, go get the lighthouse keeper. Like, we need somebody to come help. And remember, this is Thomas Orcutt.
I was like,
what?
She's sending the guy who did it to
she
go
is.
Get this
She
guy.
Certainly is.
I'm like, I don't know if you should send him away.
Thomas is fine, don't worry.
I don't know. Okay, cool.
So back then, lighthouse keepers were actually like in charge a little bit. Like, they held some kind of authority.
Yeah.
So Thomas Orcutt needed to be aware that a man had just been shot on the island.
Yeah, that's a big deal.
So as soon as Hobbs relays the story to Orcutt, the two men run back over to Milliken's home. But they learn that he had died while they were Aww. On their way back. And as soon as he heard, Howard Hobbs rushed back with his shotgun in tow, or not a shotgun, his rifle in tow, sits on his couch in his hen den, writes down a letter saying that he's doing what he's about to do, and he shoots one shot into his right temple.
Oh.
So when the police arrive on scene, Mrs. Milliken explained the whole situation and told the police the only reason her husband wanted to speak with Mr. Hobbs was because he hadn't paid his rent in a while, and there was no sign that any of this would have happened.
No, of course not.
So these wow. days, people who visit Wood Island claim that they hear shouting voices and they can hear them from the lighthouse, and they will also see dark figures appear out of nowhere and vanish without a trace. And a lot of people have come to the conclusion that the island is being haunted by Frederick Milliken and Howard Hobbs.
Yeah, of course.
Now
I believe it.
So, like, that's the end of that story. Just ended really tragically.
Yeah, that's, like, bummer.
And now they're haunting the island.
Yeah, they are.
And now, like, apparently there's some, like, wily, mischievous ghosts. Yeah. Or other people are. Because during, like, some restoration of the keeper's home and the lighthouse itself, the people working on the project would lose their tools or just, like, misplace different things and then find them somewhere totally random. And they were like, I definitely didn't put that there.
That's wily.
It is wily.
Yeah.
And a set of keepers once thought that they had lost a bunch of wax pencils that they needed to post weather updates.
Oh, yeah.
And they found an entire batch of them just hidden in a storage room.
Just hid them? Yeah. I love that they're just hiding things.
I was like, I feel like Howard Hobbs is like getting litty titty in the afterlife and just doing 100%. This for a lol. And like maybe Frederick Milliken is like, it's okay. Like, I'll help you hide this.
Like,
we can bro out in the afterlife.
We can bro out after you murdered me after getting
cold
drunk.
Blood. I know.
For no reason after just getting drunk for 2 days.
Literally.
On Orchard Beach.
And I think he was drunk like all the time.
Yeah.
Based on
It sounds like it.
It does.
Oy.
So one night, some of the crew working on these restoration, they thought it would be a good idea if they just spent the night on location because it was kind of a long drive for them.
Of course.
They were like, we don't want to have to drive the next morning. But they were up all night hearing different voices and they heard the shouting and they started hearing people running throughout the building. Oh. But like they would wake up and all of them would be accounted for and they'd look around and no one would be there.
And like running.
Yeah. Oh. So they were like, no, like we are leaving. And legend has it, they are not the only people who heard voices in the building. Apparently, and I couldn't find anything to validate this, but it's a fun haunted thing.
Yeah.
Well, it's not fun. But there was once a keeper who was also driven so crazy by all the voices that he was hearing. So he jumped off the roof of the Whoa. Lighthouse to his death.
Oh, damn.
Legend has it.
Legend has it.
And that is Wood Island Lighthouse.
Damn. Wow, we hit some good lighthouses this
time.
We
really did. And I'm so, like, I was like, there was a couple that I wanted to put on my list, but then this would have been, like, 400 years long.
Exactly.
So I'm already ready for the next one.
Oh, and now we can just keep going with them because this is so much fun.
And I would love to open up the next one with a tale about one of the lighthouses we talked about today.
Yeah.
So if you have been to Wood Island Lighthouse, Execution Rocks Lighthouse, or St. Augustine Lighthouse, mm-hmm. let us know about your experience.
Yeah, and keep sending any of them in because we also, like we did today, we opened up with one we're doing today and mm-hmm. one that we've already done, and it's really cool to have that, like...
Yeah, it's fun.
...interconnected in there. So this has been awesome.
And you can send those to morbidpodcast@gmail.com and just put, like, lighthouse or spooky lighthouse in the...
in the subject.
I was like, what's
anything with, just to make sure we know it's a lighthouse thing.
Yeah.
And then we can pick it out pretty easily, and it's easier just to like organize that way.
Yeah.
But you guys have been awesome. We're excited to make this a spooky week.
I am like, I'm living in the spooky zone.
Fully
right
in
now.
The spooky mood right
I
now.
I feel like I can like hear it in my own voice.
I think, you know what I think happens? This happens to me every year.
What?
We get closer to June when like summer's about to begin, and I feel more and more like I need fall.
Yeah.
It's like as soon as June hits, I'm like, okay, well, I'm over this. I want fall.
Yeah.
And I'm already in that mode of like, we're nearing summer and I want fall.
I also want fall.
So, but I can smell it. It's coming.
It's, yeah.
It's coming.
For
it's
sure.
It's a few months. It's not that far away.
I mean, a few months, it will be summer, but yeah.
It's 4 months till pre-October.
That's not bad.
That's really not. 4 months is nothing.
Ooh, that makes me nervous because then that's only like a year until my wedding.
Yeah.
Lots of shit.
And actually, 4 months until my book comes out, September 13th, bitch. The Butcher and the Wren. You can pre-order it at anywhere you want right now. tinyurl.com/TheButcherAndTheWren, or you can get it at Waterstones, and that's a signed copy, guys. Go get it.
Hey.
Look at that. Well, a natural slip in.
That was like a good one.
I'm saying.
Well, we hope you buy Elena's book.
Yeah.
We
at Waterstones if you want. They have signed copies.
And we hope you keep listening.
And we hope you
keep
it
weird. And definitely keep it so weird that if you write a book someday and you have a podcast, you just talk about it on your podcast so everybody buys it, because everybody should buy it, because it's a really it's a really great book. tinyurl.com/TheButcherAndTheWren, or go to Waterstones to buy a signed copy.
May the weatherman come to bring us sugar and tea and rum. One day when the tonguing is done, we'll take our leave and go.
If you like Morbid, you can listen early and ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts. Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music. Before you go, tell us about yourself by filling out a short survey at wondery.com/survey.
Whether you're working out, walking, or running errands, Audible can help you keep your heart rate up month after month with their pulse-pounding collection of thrilling audiobooks that you can't hear anywhere else. As an Audible member, you can choose one title a month to keep from their entire catalog, which includes thousands of titles. This month, check out the Audible original, The Space Within. It's a chilling 8-part story about a psychiatrist, Dr. Maddie Weil, voiced by Academy Award winner Jessica Chastain, who is tasked with unlocking the memories of a child who went missing for 7 hours. Maddie soon discovers that there are more who have faced similar experiences, and the truth of what is happening to them may impact the fate of humankind. New members can try Audible free for 30 days. Visit audible.com/thrill or text thrill to 500-500. That's audible.com/thrill or text thrill to 500-500.